Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
What's up, y'all? This is an impromptu episode of the Permaculture Pimp Cast. And William, you want to make a cameo so they know you're here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm playing producer today.
Yeah. Well, we are in El Salvador right now in a very, very, very exclusive location at about 5,000 feet. And Logan insisted on coming here. Now, folks, he's been on the show twice before. It's Logan from Sowing Prosperity Podcast. I've told everybody, you got to check it out. It's one of the best podcasts out there. If you have any concern at all about your health or what you ought to do about it, folks, I'm telling you, it's one you shouldn't miss. So Logan's a friend of mine. He, William, and I decided to come on down to El Salvador. And then just a little while ago, we were in Guatemala.
Yeah, we were.
Folks, okay. You got to be careful about them directions that you get from, what was that?
Google? I think that was Google.
Google? Yeah. It's been known to send me on a wild goose chase before. Next thing you know, they're asking for our passports. We thought we were coming up to these mountains up here. Next thing you know, they're asking for the passport. And even the lady at the passport office, I guess she was sitting there laughing because we had to, none of us speak Spanish.
Not a little bit.
Not even a little. not even a little bit. I mean, we're leaving the coffee shop and they finally got us squared away and figured out what we wanted. And what does William say on the way out?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. He says buenos dias and the whole coffee shop fell apart. And they're like, man, these stupid Americans or whatever, but it's having a good time. But anyway, William's saying he's running back here right now. He's running back here saying he's got to defend himself.
All right, hold on. Okay, so I may have said buenos dias, but every time somebody speaks Spanish to any of us, they both look at me. Logan's extent of Spanish is yes. In yes. English, yes.
Everything's
Dad
yes.
Nods. And he said, what, aquí? Yeah, so of all of us, I know the most Spanish and the only one that downloaded the translator app. So there.
Well, in fairness, he's telling the truth there. But they look at me and figure, okay, man, this bougie SOB doesn't even have the nerve to know the language. That's exactly what they think. But anyway, I'm not going to mess around, y'all, because I don't know how much time we got. We're going to lose the light here before long because in El Salvador, this time of year, sun's rising at about 5:30. And then it's going down at about 6. So we don't have a whole lot of time. But as y'all can see, I mean, we're up in the volcanoes quite literally. And Logan insisted on coming to this place. And to get here, if you ain't got a four-wheel drive, you ain't getting here.
And GPS coordinates.
And serious GPS. And a lock combination, the whole nine yards. And you better know Spanish, too. So we got here luckily. But why here? What made you so excited about coming here? And what is here?
What is here? So if you want to see, like, the actual property, I did a little live walkthrough on my Facebook. So Logan Duval, if you want to check out where we are and see a little more in detail, that's here. But this is the spot based on, you know, Dr. Jack Cruz had one of the most important impacts on my life, right? So when my little boy was diagnosed with cancer, it's like trying to understand how we overcome that and how do we take care of him. So what I got to was, wow, food's really important. It's like the most important thing we can do to, wow, light and the environment and water and magnetism and all these things are even more important, right? Because our food actually comes from the environment. So like that's like to omit that and jump across it kind of skips a lot of the important stuff. So when we look at the world, there are different geographical forces, right? And so like if we live in North Carolina, William's in Texas, I'm in Arkansas, that we have different inputs coming, like we have different seasons. Like if you are in Anchorage, you know, you have 23 hours of light during the summer, 23 hours of dark in the winter. And this is at varying degrees, and that's what Billy was saying on the equatorial, more of that steady location. So the light piece giving us light stability is really important to be here. And then to be able to have the, that's what I'm, I got maybe a little,
yeah, you got to talk about the water.
I got. So when the other thing that we did is like, we're sitting on top of like an amazing sauna. It's like a Finnish style wooden sauna. Right behind us is a hot tub that's being heated with the same water. And then right over here, I don't know if you can hear it. It's really soothing, is a cold plunge. And this cold plunge is spring water, this volcanic spring water into a cold plunge in the light. Right. So this is ionic. So I don't know if you've watched the Aramina, the Dr. Pierre Corey episode we did where he's talking about volcanic ionized mineral water, these minerals in what they do to the water. That's what that is. Right. And then if you listen to any of Dr. Cruz's stuff, you know, deuterium is a big deal. And this is an isotope of hydrogen. So we want it lower. That is deuterium low water. Right. It's ionized. It's in the sun. It's mineralized. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's right there. And you can see it. There. I'm pointing to it right now. If anybody's watching, you can see that water coming out of the William's going to lift it up, I guess, and show you.
About 55 degrees.
Yeah, there's a pool over there. So, Logan, you had us. It was me, you, and William. We got down in our swim shorts. We started off
in the sauna.
In the sauna, and that sauna is heated by not just any wood. I mean, they got
cedar
right out of these woods, right?
So cedar, and then they have this huge bulk. So it's like lava rocks, these rocks that are on top of it. And then a big bowl of water. My favorite part was the chopped eucalyptus, fresh eucalyptus sitting in that water, in that hot water sitting up there. And then you get little cup full of the water that's all eucalyptus infused, put it on the rocks and it just steams up. So like the whole experience is nothing like you kept mentioning it was so much different. What felt so much different?
Well, I mean, at home, I have very rudimentary things. I mean, it's either a tub I got from Tractor Supply, if you're going to do the cold plunging, that's sitting out back. Or in the house, I got a, one of those red light or one of those saunas, those, it gets hot, you sweat, but it's a different kind of sweat here. So why don't you explain to everybody what exactly is happening? So we went from the sauna to the cold, to that heater,
the hot tub,
and then back to the cold, yeah, and then got out of the cold. What are we trying to achieve in doing something like that? What's the whole purpose of it?
Yeah, so this is what's called contrast therapy, and this is a Nordic thing, especially Finland, and to where they do the sauna. A lot of the studies, it's kind of misleading, right, of the Finnish saunas is they focus on the sauna and the sweats part, but they don't do the cold. Right. It's contrast therapy, what they're really getting these benefits from. So what we were doing is we're getting hot, we're sweating, we're getting, all the toxins out. We're doing the sweating part that is absolutely important. This heat shock protein activation, a lot of biophysical things that are happening in the body just from the heat. Then when you go add the cold, it takes it to another extreme, another layer. So now we have this oscillation in temperature, and that's kind of shocking the body. It's this hormetic stressor. It's pulling. You added those comfort zones, right? And that's something else we've talked a lot about that we cover again later. So by doing that oscillation of temperature, you're just really making your body more resilient. You're activating things that don't really get activated when we live in a room temperature environment. So in short, but then you add the unbelievable qualities, the healing properties of the water.
Now, why that water? Now, everybody's going to think, well, I can get tap water. I can do this. I can do that. What's so special about this water? In fact, it's the very water I'm drinking right now. We brought up, 6 gallons of jugs. We're going to fill up with this water because this isn't any kind of tap water. What's so special about this stuff?
So there's a couple different ways. Like water sounds like it's a very simple topic. It's not. It is a massive, massive conversation. And so a lot of things go into what I refer to as like an aqueous solution. So we have structure of water. This is hydrogen bonding. This is the salinity of water. This goes into like the Hofmeister series and how proteins fold and all kinds of cool stuff. There's dissolved gases. This is huge. This is really, really important. There's the ionization of it, right? The different minerals that are in there that give it a different property. And so like basically the healing springs of around the world, we've heard that everywhere, right? Like the Lord system or Hot Springs, Arkansas, or Japan has all kinds of thermal healings. There's a lot to that, right? But it's hitting different front fronts, and they're all just a little bit different. This has what I believe one of the most perfect waters like in the world. I really do. From my framework of lining out that light water magnetism, resonance, temperature, and time. That right there is beautiful. I think what makes it really hard is like there's so much that goes into what that even means.
Well, that where did this water come from? Everybody's thinking, well, you know, maybe I have a well or whatever, but this isn't your garden variety. When I asked the caretaker, I was like, hey, what water should we drink? William, what was his response?
He said the water, you're good. He said the water is coming from birth. Now we do have some questions. I don't know if you guys want to get into that.
I love questions.
Okay.
Yeah, but
talking real specifically quick, about the water.
Okay.
This is deep volcanic water.
Deuterium depleted.
That, and not all volcanic water is deuterium depleted, but Dr. Cruz has actually tested this, sent off, and this is where, you know, like the right water. You don't have the right water. And so what Dr. Cruz said was like, you know, you need to drill, get down, get deep, get that water. And then they had it tested. It's low deuterium. This is why being a fire, I think.
Yeah, we got some at the house.
The deuterium is just a really big conversation. That's worth, you know, diving into a lot. But lower deuterium is what we are after in this time, especially in the sickness we are. So all the water around the world is going to have a little different, right? And the rule of thumb, but this isn't 100%, the higher concentrations are going to be at the equator of deuterium, of what's in the water cycle. The lower is going to be more at poles, right? And so then you have varying degrees. It's not 100%, right? There's different regions and that this goes off. But, you know, for one thing, like fluoride is a huge deal. But there's a lot of natural sources of fluoride, right? It's not just what is added to it. You know, like the West, that's really fluorinated water. And so when you get into what's wrong with people with these conditions and stuff, that's a consideration. The water is just a huge topic.
First question. So what is the deuterium level in ppm? Mm-hmm. Can it be measured that way?
It is. It is measured in ppm or parts per million. So what we're going for, it's like we have light water, okay? So this is therapeutic water that we all drink it. 5 and 10 parts per million is this therapeutic water. Around 120, 130 is kind of a metabolic attempt of going at. You don't go that extreme. So it's kind of like a reverse. It's a dilution. But a lot of water that is around is 154 to 148, right? That's kind of what most people have access to, and that's actually a really high deuterium.
So before you go to that, son, just real quick, so to get this right, just so people understand, typically, just in a typical sense, as I understand it, when you get closer to the poles, you have better water but lousy light. As you're at the equator, get closer to the equator, you got better light and worse water.
Yes.
We just happen to be in a place where there's excellent water, excellent magnetism, and excellent everything.
It within my framework,
light, water, and magnetism.
This is the perfect location.
This is the perfect location because we have excellent light, excellent water. Your magnetism is not going to be better than where we are. Last time I was here, I could literally take that stuff, put it in a water bottle, and deflect the needle on the compass. That's how magnetic that stuff is.
It's incredible. We can feel it, right? Like this is something else you just got to experience. I think all of us have mentioned we just feel amazing up here.
Yeah.
You just take your shoes off and walk around up here, and you feel it, no doubt.
This one is from the only Chula Wanza. Is this place a place you can visit or someone's property? I'm going to El Salvador in June and would like to visit this area.
Yeah, we need to put a link in here. This is like an Airbnb. It just happens to be the perfect location. What we're trying to scout is, can we bring this to life? Can we have something similar up here to where we can have the permaculture, we can have the health focus? Because, you know, within our network, within the group that we have amazing, you know, supporters and people that follow along. But there's also guys, not trying to be arrogant, they're the best in the world. Like we've assembled a team that and have mentors, even within the weaknesses we have, of the best people in the world that if we can bring together for health and agriculture, we got it.
Yeah, I mean, bring it all together. I mean, if we got excellent light water magnetism right here in this place, I mean, how much better are you going to be when you have great food on top of it?
Exactly.
I mean, and speaking of food, y'all, we've been on like an all pupusa diet here lately. And I mean, some of the crazy things that have already happened. I mean, folks, when I drink coffee at home, complete mess. I mean, I'm bouncing off the walls. I have coffee here even later in the day. No problem.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's like I was meant to drink coffee here. How about that?
It's almost like it grows here.
Yeah. What about that? Yeah. We passed a little coffee plantation on the way in. So we got more questions.
But one is wanting to know specifically the number. Use the baseline number of 150 parts per million and say how much lower it is as tested. He's wondering about the deuterium.
The deuterium here?
Yeah.
At this, I think like it still varies, but I think that we're getting down to about 135 parts per million.
Yeah. So that's...
That doesn't sound like that's a big deal, but that's a massive... That's a massive...
Well, especially in a place difference. Where it should be high deuterium.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. So... Are there anything else? Or
not yet.
Okay. So, if you got questions, put them in capital letters, would you, so we can address that. But anyway, there's a whole lot of other things we're doing as well while we're here. The caretaker is just right below me right now.
Who's
probably
awesome.
Yeah, the guy is absolutely awesome. So, when I was asking...
Bueno.
Bueno. We're just... Yeah. Oh yeah. He's over here asking about
hold on, let's be honest. These two have no idea what
he's asking. So we're in Metapan and this guy walks up, he says, caliente. And I said, yes. That is my response to everything. He said, oh, you speak English? And I said, yes. He said, oh, me too. I said, oh, great. He's like, what are y'all doing? I was like, oh, we're looking for a place to eat. He's like, okay, follow me. And so I had to run back to the truck to get my phone. And so then me and this random guy I just met on the street walk up to Billy and William, and we follow him down alleys and then up to these stairs. And
I'm thinking, okay, man, we're about to get jumped.
He's like, come follow me. We'll go eat. Follow me. And we're up these dark stairs. And you can't see what's around the corner. It turns out the guy owned a little food court restaurant thing.
Yeah.
Fed us, was amazing, but just randomly met him on.
And at first didn't even want any money for it.
No, he didn't.
He didn't want to be paid for it. And that's his business. I mean, that's just how fantastic some of these folks are. Very
great.
Forgiving. Very forgiving when you don't speak the language. I mean, when you're saying, you know, buenos dias after you get your coffee at the coffee shop. I mean, these are very, very forgiving people. But I mean, there's a whole lot of people wondering why we're even here. There's a whole lot going on. There's a whole lot of moving parts. Logan wants to look at some things. William and I are going to look at some things. And I don't want to jump the gun or say anything before it's time, but there are a lot of moving parts down here. So what are some of the big things that you're looking for? Because, I mean, you're in the health. For those that don't know, Logan had a young boy. It had cancer, and now he's on the other side of it. And you want to make sure he stays that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you also are big time helping people that are dealing with, although we can't talk about, we got kicked off the last time I brought up the C word. So we can't talk about solutions, strangely enough. How about that? We can't talk about solutions, but one of your goals in this world is to do the best you can to eradicate it from as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
So what does that place, what does this place have anything?
I think it has everything to do with it. Right. And so so much of what we're talking about, I'm not going to be able to do it justice in covering. Just go to the channel and start walking through, and we can name people like Dr. Cruz. He's been on 5 times. You can learn so much by listening to those. But you know, Dr. Petra is one of the best, naturopathic oncologists, I believe, in the entire world. And so within the framework of what, you know, she does and how we're trying to learn, I have to give, you know, Petra has been a massive influence. Dr. Cruz has, and also Dr. Barry Ninham, he's a 90-year-old physicist down in Australia. That they're the only reason I know anything, right? Like they're just, I owe them so much. So when you start looking at the physical laws and principles that govern all biology, what we're saying of that this is like the perfect location to come heal makes a lot more sense, but there's, that means a whole lot. So when I'm looking at cancer, the way that I look at it is what's called an atavistic reversion. Okay. So it's like a decoherence. This is where you see like the hallmarks of cancer, where it looks like it's its own organism, right? It's disconnected from the host in a way. So cancer is not a parasite, by the way. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is a certain software that God programmed that's ran by physics that is dictated by the environment that it is. That's why we have one thing that we've really enjoyed is all the different plants, right? Mm-hmm. So like when we're comparing what's at North Carolina versus what's in Arkansas, what's in Texas, what's been at the lower parts near the beach has been getting up in the mountains, the plants look very, very different in everywhere. And the reason for that is the environmental forces that have acted on them over time, mm-hmm. right? That's what's happened. So we can call that evolution. I know that's a trigger word for a lot of people, but things adapt, evolve, they to the environment at which they are. Things just look different. So when cancer is an adaptation to a different time, for lack of a better term, different physical properties, and this is why it has the characteristics it does. So is recreate coherence, right? In permaculture, this is like, you know, how do we bring the system back aligned versus how do we try to force feed something, right? Like we've talked a lot about beef industry in El Salvador and how to make that work. Does it work? Does it not work? Right? Like we've hit it from all kinds of different angles. But in my opinion, cancer must first and foremost have the appropriate foundation for healing. And that means getting back into the appropriate cycles. Principles of nature, light, water, magnetism, resonance, temperature, and time. We are not seeing the success in cities, is what I'm saying, right? We have EMF. We have, you know, that's 5G. That we have the artificial light that's all the time. We have comfort. We don't have circadian rhythm, right? We don't have night and dark. We don't have cold and hot. We don't have any of the appropriate inputs. Magnetism is atrocious, right? A lot of people live in high rises, right? As you get higher up, the worse the magnetism is, right? And so there's all kinds of little things. You sit in a classroom or an office all day and you're never in the sun. All those things. So we got to get in the right environment first. And then there's modalities that you add on, right? There's room for all kinds of different ways of approaching it, whether that's a ketogenic diet, that's blah, 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 right? Like there's so many things that go back. But my first and foremost foundation is how do we get people from an unhealthy environment of decoherence, right? Chaos, and put them in a coherent environment. I really think that we found it.
This is the model of coherence, in other words.
This is the model of the coherence.
Yeah. Brandon, thanks for breaking out that super chat. Somebody asked, can you raise cattle down there? Was pasture land hard to come by? See, this is one of those permaculture answers I'm going to have to give because it all depends. Right now, I'm looking over the side of this mountain and about 1,000 feet down from us right now, there was cattle out there. I think they did him out. Yeah. And they're on the side of a mountain. See, that's a double-edged sword. What Logan was kind of getting at a minute ago is, I'll put it this way. This is not ideal cattle country, certainly not up in the mountains. But there are other things you can raise. The best thing to do, and the way it's being done, the way they're being managed, just like in the States, I'm not coming down on these folks. 99% of the farms you see running cattle in the States are not running it in the coherence that you just described a moment ago. It is not coherent at all with nature. It doesn't model the buffalo. And you're in a place where these animals were not indigenous to begin with.
Yeah.
So once again, you got to ask yourself, is there coherence in doing that? So the answer is a resounding no, but it can be done under the right circumstances. And that's why I say it depends. So somebody says, Solar says, so when are you planning to relocate there and escape the NC mountain abduction? Yeah, good question. I mean, it just came out the other day that the USDA finally confirmed what we were saying and a number of others were saying from the very beginning of that engineered hurricane. There's a lot going on there. But folks, there's a whole lot of decisions, a whole lot of thoughts, a whole lot of things that have to happen And I haven't mentioned anything about relocation. It could be an area where you come, like Logan was mentioning, the part that scares me is that when we were down here for the last 2 weeks at a time, Michelle didn't even wear glasses anymore after a week and a half. I decided to experiment and say, gee, what if I eat poorly? Because Logan's telling me that food is down on the list quite a way. I mean, there's other things you need to see too. We had all that met here. I was doing great. I mean, like a Superman, honestly, this is the way I felt and, you know, the way I was operating. We get back 2 weeks later in North Carolina. Our nearest neighbor is a quarter mile away. There ain't nobody near us. And everything that we had improved upon down here was gone in 2 weeks. That concerns you.
It concerns me a lot. Yeah. It really did, because I thought it would have lasted longer. I thought you would have had a good 5-6 weeks.
She had every bit. It was within 2 weeks. She went right back to needing those reading glasses. And I went back to being, I was like, man, what? I'm doing everything exactly like I was down there. In fact, even more so back there. And it still went backwards. So what does it say about our environment? Not just mine, but the environment in general. I mean, we got data centers going up everywhere. We got EMF everywhere. I mean, it doesn't seem to be improving. So if there's a place where somebody could come down here, spend some time and defrag, is that the key? Is that what we're looking
for? That's what we're trying, right? Like, because not everybody can relocate to El Salvador or whatever, the more locations that, you know, we really are able to identify. But everybody could potentially go to a retreat for a period
instead
of time.
Instead of going to Cancun and getting drunk.
Right. Go heal, right? Like, yeah. That's my biggest thing. It's like, focus on healthcations, right? Like, making memories and doing things that may improve your life. I don't think most people realize how sick we are as a baseline. I think that we're very, very sick, and we don't even know what it feels like to be not sick. And so, like, I'll be honest with y'all, this is about the best that I've felt in years.
Yeah.
You know, I worked on an ambulance for 8 years, right? The 24-hour shift, 48, 72s destroyed me, right? Like, I was on testosterone and I was 24, right?
Really?
Yeah, like, it just wrecked me. And so, like, the lifestyle environment are so unbelievable. And I've not yet recovered, right? I've been off an ambulance almost 10 years, and I've still not recovered. So, like, that's one of those things is, like, I've never been in the perfect environment. That's why we had to come down here, right? We had to experiment. What is the tipping point? What's the needle mover? And I have looked, because I didn't want to leave, right, the United States. I wanted the location to be in the United States. Like, I looked everywhere in every possible way that I could. It's not. It's just not.
And you've looked. I mean, you've looked in a big way.
Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, I mean, you know what's really cool is, like, this is, like, the whole country is, for the most part, minus the big cities, is a great location. You got access to a beach, which is, from where we are, just a couple hours away. And then you got this area where we're in the mountains, access to excellent sunlight, excellent water, excellent conditions, excellent everything. And it's kind of cool to be here and see what that feels like, to have a basis of comparison. So, yeah, here's one. Why is the lifespan in El Salvador below the average if it's so great? Well, let me cover part of that, and then I'll throw it over to Logan. I can't confirm. I don't know about your stats. I mean, you may be right. Well, I will say, these people here have been under 50 years of absolute tyranny, 3 civil wars. That's going to leave some marks. If you go to town and you watch what they eat, folks, I kid you not, William, Logan, and I can all vouch for the fact that you can just walk in these woods and you can come out with about $200 worth of groceries without even thinking. I mean, at the Airbnb we got in the low country, I mean, there's so many. I did a short yesterday where I'm like, that was just, what were they, mangoes?
We got sweet sop, mangoes, limes.
Limes, sweet limes.
Sweet, yeah, the limes are sweet.
The limes are sweet. So you got access to all this incredible food, all this incredible environment. But the people here, if you check them out, honestly, and I brought this up the last time I had an interview with Dr. Cruz, is that they're eating... From dawn till dusk, they're eating junk food. They're probably looking at computer screens and blue light environments at times when they should not be.
Absolutely.
So that's got to play. I mean, you could have the best environment in the world. Like Dr. Cruz was talking about these folks that came from Australia, and they moved here from Australia. They stayed in their home. They never got out in the nature. All they did was take the lifestyle that they had in Australia, turn back around, come to El Salvador, sitting in a home under blue light, watching TV and computer screens all day. If you don't interact in the environment, I mean, it's not going to do you any good. But what would you say to all
that? Well, so nobody here, right, said you need to move into the metropolitan area of El Salvador and all your health issues come, right? Like, because we didn't do that, right? We are in the middle of nowhere. The driveway, it took us 30 minutes from the time we entered the gate on the driveway.
Up,
30 minutes to go up the driveway, right, to get here. We are in the middle of nowhere. That's why I've said and pinpointed, you've got to make the location right. You can ruin a location, right, with EMF. El Zante, where we were, kind of a rough area when you consider all these things, these non-native electromagnetic frequencies that are coming in, the population basis. So you can be in the perfect place, but you don't have the appropriate lifestyle and act in accordance with those natural principles. You can break all the rules even in the perfect environment. Like, so I don't think they do have the lowest, when you actually look at it, longevity, when you start breaking it down at all. But what I will say is that the modernization is a huge problem for the culture, that we've seen that firsthand, right? Because even on these little roadside stands where there's consequences to everything that we do, and it's not the life expectancy is atrocious everywhere. We're literally decreasing, been trending down in the United States, right? Like they're not beaten, they're not worse than us.
Well, I will say also, when we were here the last time when I had Michelle, I was telling you guys about this lady, had to be every bit of 80 years old, carrying a 50-pound bag of rice over her shoulders up the side of a mountain. And she's living in an old hut, you know, hacking it out of the wilderness. I mean, you can't complain about any of that. I mean, this is a lady that is doing some pretty incredible feats of strength living in a proper environment.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, judging by her size, man, I mean, she was definitely just a buck 05 at that. And she was walking up the side of a mountain with a 50-pound bag over her shoulder. I'm telling you what, if she wasn't 80, she had to be real close to it. So it was really, really something else. There was another question up there. Somebody mentioned, son, if you back it up a little bit, there was that one right there in the big bold letters. Can you make it where I can read it? Yeah. Billy, what you describe is true across the U.S. as we are all aware of your shirt describes. Yeah, we're talking about the chemtrailing on my shirt. One day last week in central North Carolina, it shocked me one morning to see the sky was actually blue. Well, it depends on what shade of blue you're talking about, because I can tell you, most people think it's blue and it's not. They're spraying at night. And yet that light blue you see isn't the real blue. The real blue happened for 30 solid days right after that engineered hurricane that came through. And then people that were in New York during 9/11 described the same exact phenomenon. People in the California fires, same exact phenomenon. Every single time one of these major disasters unfolds. So I don't know. I live in Western North Carolina, and I don't know that I've seen a sky that wasn't seriously ionized. Let's see here. 99% of us will never see any healing whatsoever. Debt slaves for life.
I brought this up because of what Dr. Jack Cruz told you to do to get down here.
Oh, with the house. Yeah, I'm not going to bring that up here. Yeah. this question, leave it on for a second, son. So, 99% of us will never see any healing because we're debt slaves for life. Do you have to be? And I want to ask you seriously, Logan, we'll kick this on over to you, too, and see if you have something to say about it. In terms of being a debt slave, a lot of these prisons are very effective because we live in prisons with bars that we can't see, and we're people that fundamentally think we're free. But are we? And are these self-imposed prisons? Are these prisons that we impose upon ourselves? Because they say that you have to do this, because they say you have to pay this sort of thing. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail right now, but I do want to encourage you and everybody else out there. I get your point, but you either got to stand up and smell the corruption or fall asleep drinking a hemlock. And honestly, at the end of the day, remember what I always say. I don't obey unjust laws. if it's an unjust law, you tell me I got to raise my animals a certain way and it's not deleterious to the environment, I don't care what your law is. I'm not going to obey it. Logan, do you have anything regarding any of that? The debt slavery? I know that's a loaded one, right? Yeah.
Basically, we have to start questioning everything that we believe. And this is where we hit a lot of Dunning-Kruger moments where we believe things that just aren't so, right? Mark Twain quote. So when we truly start questioning if we have to do something or not, I think it reopens up the framework. Now, as everybody makes their own decisions, whether we drank the Kool-Aid and we did the whole go to school, make good grades, go to college, get a good job, listen to the doctors, work for what, 40 years, retire, have a pension, and then life is enjoy what, 10 years?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
Right. And it just never set well. So I think that this is where, as you know, we're all entrepreneurs too, right? Like that's a whole nother cloth cutting. So I think that we have to just reevaluate what it is we have to do and why we are a quote unquote debt slave. I agree 100% with the premise that 99 won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they don't look in the mirror and question what they believe.
Well, we spent a fair amount of time talking about that 99% that no matter, you know, there was a guy, he was a charlatan. He said a quote, you know, no amount of evidence can shatter a faith consciously based on a lie. For example, if you're going to mainstream doctors out there that are just going to hand you pills, you know, back when I had high blood pressure, I didn't have a lisinopril deficiency. I mean, I didn't have any of those things. And so it goes back to your thing. Maybe a lot of us are debt slaves or in that place because we don't know that there's a better way, that we don't know. Let me ask a lot of you, what are you doing in your spare time? I mean, are you watching the ball game? Ain't nothing wrong with watching the ball game every once in a while. But there's a reason now. When I was a kid, football was Friday high school, Saturday college, Sunday was football. I mean, you know, Sunday football, NFL, and then Monday night football. That was it.
Yeah.
Now football's on every single day of the week.
Yeah.
And now they got multiple channels where you can watch it day and night. So
well,
we got to make sure we're not imposing ourselves into these in prison.
I want to throw this back because it kind of goes full circle. How many people are working for insurance?
Excellent point.
Right. Working for insurance because of poor health. Right. You see the loop? Like to me, that's a more damning cycle than even the debt. Right. I'm scared to not have a job that's secure that has insurance because of health issues. And we're not, or we could just try to, obviously accidents happen. I worked on an ambulance. I understand this better than anybody. Right. But the chronic disease epidemic that we are locked into working for insurance to deal with things that we could just avoid is kind of the whole point of what we're talking about.
I'm glad you brought that up because I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, I understand having catastrophic insurance if that's what you need. But this whole thing where you're going in there for, you know, these mainstream doctors ain't fixing anything. Really not. Just give me a couple of pills and have a nice day. Somebody's saying, can you talk about the expat community there? Thanks. I wish I could, but I only know some of them. We've been invited to a party on Saturday and, we're going to actually hang out with a number of them. I'm glad you brought that question up because it kind of kicks into what Logan just said a moment ago. You'll find out, at least with the expats that I've met here, every last one of them to some extent or another is an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
They're saying, you know, I'm not going to play by your rules. I'm going to make my own rules. You got money that I don't use. Okay, I'll use a different kind of money. These people are literally the ones I've met. I'm not saying this applies to all of them, but the ones I have met are very bootstrapped up kind of people. Do you have anything to say about that? Or
I'm gonna go on a tangent a little bit.
Go ahead.
Because who I have been the most impressed, and I'm curious how y'all feel about this too, are the native El Salvadorians that moved to the United States and have moved back.
Good point.
They have impressed me. They have a different perspective and appreciation and an ideal that is just beautiful. Right? What Ronaldo this morning, right? Like we have met.
Excellent.
They have been so impressive. So this is going to be offensive. personally, I don't care about the expat community. I see more value and collaboration and excitement in those that experienced America, but started in El Salvador.
No, that is a fantastic. I was wondering, I was like, man, who's playing music? There ain't nobody up here.
My phone. Phone. Probably my kiddos.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead. We're about to lose the light here before too long. But I mean, to your point, man, we met a guy today that was astonishing. I mean, two of them actually. Dude, yeah.
The guy this morning and then the guy for lunch.
Right. The guy this morning and the guy for lunch. And then to top that off, last time I was here, there was a couple of same thing. Guy moved to America, found out what the American dream was, and then came back here. And these guys can go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with you. Because they did live through. They knew what it was like when this place, I mean, in so many ways in the United States of Amnesia, we're victims of comfort.
Yeah.
We really are. We just don't know how good we got it in so many different ways. And I'm glad you brought that up because, man, these guys go up there, work hard, do the American dream, come back here. And we met an extraordinary guy today that was honestly on another level. I mean, just an absolute philosopher in so many different ways. We'll take this last one and then we'll have to bug out here because we are definitely losing the light. Can you talk about the top three locations to research there for those of us that could spend six or so months of a year? I don't know that I could say with any authority yet. I mean, I will say this, and
know that there's plenty of things I don't know, right? Fair preface that. I have honed into the area outside of Metapan. So if you start looking at that, this is kind of in the corner of Guatemala and Honduras. We accidentally went to Guatemala. Almost got into Guatemala. But this area is where at a higher altitude. It's away from the city. Metapan is a pretty good sized city though. So I'm talking about like these outskirts. It's not on the beach. It's in the mountains. Like you can see, like this is where we are. But I think as far as like healing and spending a good amount of time, you know, go to the beaches, go experience all that. I think it's great. But like, if you want to heal, like you got to get up in the mountains. And Metapan's a good hub in my opinion.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, it's not by any means a metropolis, but you could be on the outskirts of that thing if you still had to commute to the city or whatever the case may be. I mean, there's a number of other places similar to that, that some of the locals I was here last time talked about. That's part of what we're here to find out. I mean, it's a fact-finding mission. And, you know, when I was here with Michelle last time, I wanted to make sure when I came back, I wanted to make sure that I brought some dispassionate eyes for me and that I could be the dispassionate eyes for them. This is why you don't design. This is why doctors aren't supposed to treat their own family. This is part of the reasons why permaculture designers don't design their own locations, because you need to get dispassionate eyes on it. And say, hey, bro, I don't think you're seeing this over here. It might be a problem. So we're kind of being the third and fourth eyes for each other around here, because I may see things that Logan may not see. William may see something Logan didn't see, and vice versa. I mean, it's going all the way around. And honestly, just being here also and, you know, with extraordinary conversationalists and the people that we met so far, we've only been here 2 days. I mean, we ain't even finished the second day.
It's been amazing.
One and a half days, actually. And we've seen some pretty, country and some beautiful things here. I know Dr. Cruz, folks, if you check out some of his latest stuff where he's talking about the magnetic declination that's happened all throughout the world in certain places, and some of the hot spots where the magnetism is still good, is going to be primarily those spots where the volcanoes are kicking, right?
Right. Yeah. And identified only like 6 places in the world. And a couple of those look pretty miserable to live in. So like this is where, you know, one of Dr. Cruz's things is like, it's going to be survival of not the fittest, but the wisest. Mm-hmm. And so like there's a lot of places, and I don't want this, you know, be apocalyptic and stuff, but like there is some things to consider based on what I'm saying on the physics that we really need to consider. Magnetism, big, big important leg on that.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all. So it's, we're going to lose light here, and we probably ought to knock out a few chores before we got to turn in ourselves, because Man, it's strange. Y'all feel tired all of us? I mean, you feel like you're kind of winding down a little
bit.
Trying
to figure out how I'm going to sleep.
I feel amazing.
Really? Really?
I feel amazing.
Yeah, it is something up here, y'all. I mean, there ain't nobody around us for miles.
The fresh air that we got, cedars and pine trees and eucalyptus. And like, I wish y'all could smell this and feel. I don't know. Could the temperature? Billy's cold from the cold plunge.
Yeah.
Right? He's not recovered. Not cold.
I'm about there. I'm about, you know, back to core temperature and everything. But I'm just like, I mean, there's folks. I mean, this, we'll have to put a link in here. And, you know, ultimately we'll add a link here to what here is. Because if you ask me to tell you how to get here, I mean, like Logan said, it was every bit of 30 minutes just getting up the driveway.
The driveway.
And if you ain't got a four-wheel drive, you ain't getting up here. No doubt. I mean, we had a SUV yesterday that we had to turn in to get a four-wheel drive just to get up here. I mean, it cost another $600 just to get that four-wheel drive, but it was worth every dime if you ask me.
I just wish we could be here longer. That's the only thing. So, like, if you want to see the property and stuff, you check out the little live video I did earlier on Facebook. The property, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, right now, and for the folks who are saying, hey, you're around all this Wi-Fi and stuff, no, we're really not. And we're going to turn it off here in a little while. It's up on the, what did you call that thing?
Starlink
up on top of that house. And I ain't even sure there's regular commercial power going to this place. I think what you got is what you got. So anyway, folks, stay tuned. Look, I know everybody's wondering. So many people have hit me up like, hey, what are you really doing down there? Are you about to move? And all these folks right now, I'm just doing the due diligence. We got so many meetings lined up. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at some other places. Saturday, we're going to meet with a bunch of expats. We got invited. They saw the video Logan did where we did it together, and we were talking about coming down here. It got into the expat community. They want us to come on over and, you know, give them a talking to. And then, honestly, some of these folks that have been here a while, I think they're going to help steer us in the right direction, you know, regarding some of the goals and some of the things we're looking to do around here. And you know what? Hey, there may even be an opportunity for a lot of you guys out there to be a part of what may unfold in the future. So you don't know. I mean, but that's what we're here to do is I don't want to go off half-cocked and tell you, hey, you know, this is that, until we know anything. Logan, how does everybody find you?
Sowing Prosperity is the YouTube channel with Logan Duvall. And so if you have any sort of a health issue, check. I've probably covered it on my channel, and you don't need a whole bunch of expensive supplements and a lot of this craziness. Like, it's just understand the principles and where we're kind of breaking those things and start addressing those. So just like so much health stuff on my channel, of course, regenerative agriculture, all the regenerative legends they've been on, you know, multiple times. So like, of course, you know, Billy and I, we just hit it off. You know, William, he's phenomenal. I don't know how much everybody knows, but this dude is awesome. I have had a blast for the three of us getting together and exploring, and it's been incredible. So
just navigating the language has been comical.
This alone is the secret to
you
Spanish.
Tell them about that. Yeah, we pull up into this town ain't nobody ever heard of. It's funny. I mean, they were just real quick. I'll let Logan kind of finish it up. It was like we're hobbits up here. We're like
first and second
breakfast in the whole nine yards. So we didn't eat nothing when we left. We tried to get up here as early as we could, and we ended up stopping in this town. I mean, the lady sitting there, it could have been her home, far as I know. We just walk in there, and we order some pupusas and stuff like that. And, folks, some of the people that live more rurally, a lot of them eat just once a day. So when we were asking for seconds, they didn't know what to do with that. They're like, man, we're out of food, man. They tell us, I mean, somehow we work it out. William figures it out that they're out of food. So they said, look, we can fry up some eggs and do whatever and give y'all some beans.
More food, anything, please.
More food, yeah, some more food, please. Anything, please. And because usually a pupusa and some beans is a meal for these folks. We ate them pupusas, which are basically like a pancake with something inside of it. Or delicious. What do you call it? Like a,
it's like a cornmeal like with the keys or beans or some sort of meat.
Yeah, it's like something inside of it.
And they're delicious.
And that's usually a meal for these folks. We ate them and we're like, okay, what's next? And I don't think they're accustomed to that. So, I mean, to blow your mind away, we ate all that and got seconds with something else and drinks We got out of there for what they $9.
$9.
Total. And $9 total for all of us. And then we went to that place. And what did it? What did they charge you?
12.
For? And what did we eat?
We had a huge thing of rice, fried chicken. What was the other beans. Thing? I had
half a chicken.
Beans. Those not really tortilla things, but they were kind of like bread.
They were like a thick tortilla.
And we drank a Coke.
I drank a real Coke. I was like, folks, that's the first Coke I drank since I can remember.
$12.
$12 for three out of there for three of us.
Total.
Yeah, I walked out of there looking like that little fat yellow Pokemon. So I'm telling you what, y'all, I was full for a while. And man, I'm telling you what, here we are.
We got bananas and avocados.
We got bananas and avocados in here and cheese. Don't even ask me where. Yeah, well, that's another story altogether. But anyway, it's a joy to be up here on this. Y'all, we'll do this again. We'll keep track of what's going on here. We'll post some videos when it makes sense. There's so much permaculture stuff here, so much health stuff that Logan's looking at. Really, all of us are looking at all of the above and just seeing what works, what makes sense. I mean, is it possible? Do we have enough time? You know, are we falling into the abyss before we can really make anything happen? I mean, all these questions are going on in my head, and I'm sure with them as well. So remember, y'all, go check out Sowing Prosperity Podcast. I don't know why that's such a tongue twister. But is there something else in there, son? Yeah, he's just looking at some of your chats, y'all. Look, I know there's a whole lot of things y'all can do. We're about to lose the light anyhow, because when it goes down, it's like 6:10 right now, I guess.
Yeah, 6:10.
It's going to be black here, y'all. So that's one cool thing. We met a guy on the bus trying to get to the rental car place, and that was one of the things he didn't like, is that, you know, it was every single day all year long. It's like you got 12 hours to get it done, and it's done.
Sounded amazing to me.
I thought it was great.
And then we met the two guys with machetes walking down the road as we got. Yeah. Here. We'll tell that story later.
Yeah, we'll have to get that one. Yeah, thanks so much, y'all. Until next time, you know the deal. Stay alert, stay alive. Y'all take care. Sorry, I don't have any outro.